Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter.
Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the digital marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is Wednesday, December 14th, 2016. This is episode 183 of The Big Show. And thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. Now, as promised last week, I am going to continue with our discussion of how you create an effective content marketing strategy. This was something we'd first talked about almost a month ago, and it kind of fell by the wayside because of some news and things along those lines, but I know it's important, particularly as you head into 2017, and so I thought we really should focus on this. Now, before I go too deeply into how you get there, I want to talk for just a moment why you get there. Now, you've heard people talk about content marketing a lot. It's undoubtedly been one of the biggest buzzwords of 2016, one of the bigger buzzwords of 2015, goes back even further than that. But the reason that people are so passionate about it, the reason it matters so much, that is overlooked a lot of times, is that it is critical for your search and social success. If you have no content, then no one can find you in search. Google's search spider can't find you. So you simply don't exist. And if you have no content, then your customers have nothing to share with their friends and family and fans and followers on social. So it's really critical to have content, to have really good quality content that helps meet your customers' needs so that you can succeed in search and so that you can succeed in social. That doesn't mean that you should just put up a whole bunch of stuff just so that you can rank or just so that you can quote unquote go viral. That's not what we're talking about here. In fact, when we think about how you get to where you want to go with content marketing, I think you will see that there are people who fall into a couple of different categories. And as we can do with a lot of things, I would think of it in terms of, you know, a four-quadrant matrix, right? Like you'd see in a BCG matrix, where on our x-axis, you're going to have traffic, you know, from low traffic to high traffic. And on the y-axis, you have things that have very little conversion to very high conversion. And so if you think about those four boxes, obviously, if you get very little traffic and very low conversion, that's content that is really poor quality. It's not doing a good job of attracting customers to you, and it's not doing a good job of turning those prospects into actual paying customers for you. If you get a lot of traffic, but it doesn't convert, then that's really clickbait, right? Those are the things that, well, it's great and all from the perspective of gaining you traffic, but it's not really doing anything to provide greater business value. The flip side is if it converts really well, but doesn't get lots of traffic, that's really a sign that you're not promoting that content effectively. One of the things we'll talk about in a moment is actually doing an audit and an assessment of your existing content. And things where you get, you know, good conversion, but not a lot of traffic, are clearly opportunities to promote your business more effectively, to promote the content more effectively. And then finally, of course, things that get a lot of traffic and get a lot of conversion, that's your sweet spot. That's really what we're shooting for here. So you want to look at content that aligns with your business strategy. What are you trying to accomplish as a company? And how can you use content to help with that? Now, I'll give you an example. This isn't new. You know, The Guiding Light was one of the first soap operas. It appeared on television in 1952, and it was on radio for years before that. And it was founded by P&G, Procter & Gamble, to sell detergent and soap to housewives. And let's be fair, in that era, that's exactly who they were selling to. But it was really designed to promote their brands and businesses. The Michelin Guide first came out in 1901 because they wanted people to travel so that they could sell more tires. And John Deere first started publishing the Furrow magazine in 1895. Again, this is not new. But I'll give you a real-world scenario that is newer and really effective. GE last year created the number one podcast on iTunes last November. It was a science fiction podcast. It was a drama, really interesting, really successful. And their chief creative officer, which I want to point out, Andy Goldberg, GE's chief creative officer, think about the fact that they actually have a chief creative officer. But he said, I don't consider it advertising. It's a podcast show that just happens to be produced by a brand instead of a network. I'm not saying, hey, go out and buy a jet engine. It's a science fiction story to connect listeners with what the GE brand is about without selling the GE brand. They also have these great videos they've put up on YouTube called Unimpossible Missions, which I'll go ahead and I'll link to at least one of them in the show notes. But in all these cases, what they're really trying to do is recruit engineering talent. They're trying to show young engineers that GE is cutting edge. GE is a technology company. GE is a place that if you're an engineer, you don't have to go work at Google. You don't have to go work at Facebook. You can go work for GE and do some great work. So they're really aligning their content to the needs of their business. So what you need to do is define your objectives. What do you expect your digital channels to do for you? And use that to make the business case for building your content marketing strategy, right? How can content support the goals you have as a brand and as a business? That's what GE did. They said, we need to recruit engineering talent, and so we're going to create content that's going to appeal to the people we're trying to talk to. That's really, really straightforward, which leads to the second step, which is you need to research your audience. The mistake that I see people make a lot is they create content and they put it out on every possible channel, which is fine. You can do that to test, but you're not really reaching your customers most effectively where they're likely to be. You're just putting it everywhere in hopes that maybe you'll reach the right person. Whereas instead, you can look to say, where are the places that actually matter to our customers and what kinds of content really work for them there? So for instance, if I know of a hotel company that's having great success by putting lots of wedding content on Pinterest because they realize a lot of young women are using Pinterest as a place to save their lookbooks and save their mood boards for the things they're thinking about for their weddings, and they're actually getting into that discussion with the customer and driving more business. The third step is making sure you allocate the right budget and resources. What do you need to make this work? Now, to be fair, often you have to answer a fourth question in your strategy before you can come to this one. But you do need to think about what is the budget that you will need to create the content and to promote the content. So let's talk about those for a second. Now, I said create a moment ago. Really, what I should have said is sourcing your content. To do that, there's really four ways I look at it, or as I sometimes say, four and a half. Because first, you can collect. then you can curate, then you can crowdsource, and then if need be, you can create. I'll talk about what the half is in just a second. But when you collect, you're really doing an audit of your existing content. Get a baseline, see what exists out there, just like we talked about a moment ago, in terms of how much traffic it gets, how much conversion it gets. But use pre-existing assets. You know, could be white papers. As a friend of mine always likes to joke, why don't they actually ever print them on some other color paper? But, you know, you can have white papers. You can have videos you've created. You can have, you know, FAQs and other content that might already exist, brochures, etc. Right there, you can take some of that, and as long as it meets the needs of your audience and works for the channels you'll look to, may as well start there. Don't recreate the wheel. Use the wheel you've already got. You can also curate other people's content. That's something I do personally for my business all the time. I do a weekly link digest that is just a set of links that I've curated from other sources that I think are worthwhile to my customers. The third option is you can crowdsource. You can actually look at things like user-generated content to improve what you have available to you. And then the last one is, okay, once you've collected, once you've curated, once you've crowdsourced, then and only then, create to fill in the gaps in the content that you need to address your business objectives. And I said there were 4.5. This is where the half comes in. You can also contract for that. You don't have to have the resources inside your company. You can go ahead and bring them on as needed to address your specific needs at that time. So once you've defined your objectives, researched your audiences, and allocated the budget and resources, and sourced your content, then we get to promotion. I'm going to skip the details of that today because that's a much longer discussion and frankly something we talk about almost every week here on the show. But the last step is you need to measure your results. Tie that back to your objectives and say, is this actually delivering on what we need? No, then adjust. Test and learn, just like we talk about all the time here. And if it does, great, double down, do more of that. Find what's working for your audience and on which channels, and keep feeding that back into the system. So, if you define your objectives, research your audience, allocate your budget, source your content, promote your content, measure the results, and feed that back into your objectives, that's how you create an effective content marketing strategy and an effective content marketing operation. Now, obviously, I've only hit these at a high level, but if you have questions, if you have comments, if you have concerns about any of that, or go, wait a second, that doesn't make sense, then I would ask you to get in touch with me. Drop me an email at podcast@timpeter.com or contact me on Twitter at handle at TCPeter. And let's talk about it because I'd love to talk about this with you and help you figure out how to get there. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we are out of time for this week. This one blew by really quickly. I want to remind you that the show notes for today's episode and an archive of all past episodes is available at timpeter.com/podcast. Again, that's timpeter.com/podcast. And you can click on the subscribe link in any of the episodes you find there so you can get the podcast delivered to you every week. You can also subscribe in iTunes or the Google Play Music Store or Stitcher Radio or whatever your favorite podcatcher happens to be. Just do a search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or Plain Old Thinks Out Loud. We should show up for any of those. And I would so appreciate it if you'd provide a rating on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, again, whichever your favorite happens to be, because it really does help us out. You can also find me at facebook.com/TimPeterAssociates. As I mentioned again on Twitter, at the handle TCPeter, or via email using podcast@timpeter.com. Again, that's podcast@timpeter.com. With that, I want to say thanks again so much for tuning in. I genuinely appreciate it. I hope you have a great week ahead, a fantastic weekend, and I will look forward to seeing you back here on Thinks Out Loud next week. Until then, take care, everybody.